The meeting of October 3rd, 2019 is called to order. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from September 5th, 2019?
So moved.
It's been moved.
Second.
And seconded. All those in favor, are there, is there any discussion on that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Madam Chair.
Board Member Heller.
I abstain as I was out of town and had requested to be excused.
Oh, yeah, we haven't done that yet. We're never going to excuse you.
Are we going to vote on that?
No, she abstained. We don't have to vote on that. Communications for information, Wendy.
Just a reminder, there'll be a study session immediately following this meeting on the topic of residency.
Action on matters still pending, new business, police and fire testing. The board had expressed concerns about what's going on. Some of you may have read my email to our council member, Hunter. I would still like more questions answered as to how they develop those questions. And I would like to have police and fire actually come in and tell us a little bit about how they do that. And with that, I should probably let Wendy know that I did email council member Hunter, and I do have a copy of that email for our information packets. Is there any concern by other board members or Board Member Hansen?
I read your email that you're referring to Council Member Hunter, and I agree with everything that you said in it. And I think a particular concern to me is the fact that we have so many exempt positions in the city of Tacoma. And I still don't know exactly what the status of that issue is and how that issue is going to be addressed. I did see a brief mention by Ms. Fritz that the commission or the committee that's doing the reclass at this point is going to look at that issue, but I don't know the details of that, what instructions they've been given in that regard, and how they intend to make determinations in their study. So without that knowledge, I don't know whether or not this is actually going to happen. And so that is a really a big concern, I think, to me and some other members of the board.
Board Member Sexton, did you have something?
I've already forgotten.
Okay. And along with that, I've also met with the mayor, the deputy mayor, and the human resource director shortly after I wrote that email. Exempt positions are something that were brought up, and the human resource director did say that he would be at our November meeting to tell us a little bit about how he thinks that's going to come out. And I am asking that be done and that we see him in November so we can ask more of those questions. With the position,
Madam Chair.
Board Member Sexton.
I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but something just came to mind. are we seeing the police and fire testing and the classification issue as the same issue or two separate issues?
I do not. I see them as two separate issues.
All right. So thank you. I thought I was missing something. So are we going to schedule a special meeting on the police and fire testing?
That's what I was asking the board, if they would like to do that. I would like to see a meeting on the police and fire testing matter.
So moved.
Is there a good time for that meeting. Board Member Ann.
Clarification, please. A good time?
Sometimes I'm thinking next year because we're already into November. December is never a good time. And the other thing that I was also thinking is we could have a meeting in January, not necessarily the first Thursday, but the second Thursday of the month, so we don't miss our January meeting. I was going to bring that up as well, but that's what I mean by timing. Is there a good month for this board to address the police and fire testing?
I would support, definitely after the first of the year, just given the number of things people have on their calendars between now and the end of this one.
I would concur and also say, especially if we're looking at moving it, if we have it that far out in advance, they should be able to coordinate the arrangements and logistics as needed, and it wouldn't, you know, if we put it too close, it's going to be difficult to do that, scheduling an extra meeting.
Scheduling an extra meeting? We generally don't meet the first January, Thursday, so I'm thinking only one, and it would be the second Thursday.
Extra as it's not on our normally appointed day.
Okay. Other comments by board members? Then I am hearing a consensus that we put the police and fire testing matter before the board at the January meeting, and that we schedule that January meeting for the second Thursday of the month.
And just so I'm clear, that's not a study session that will happen during the meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Second Thursday in January?
Yes.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work for whatever reason, just let us know. And then, okay.
I had one other. Gary Buchanan, the HR director, was thinking that he would appear for a study session next month. Do you want him during the regular meeting?
I want him prepared for the meeting.
Got it.
Thank you. Are there other comments by board members? Okay. Hearing none. Moving on. Consideration of matters set for public hearing.
None this evening.
Civil Service Coordinator report.
None this evening.
Human Resource Director reports and requests.
Good evening. I'm reporting this evening on one list abolishment and one waiver of competitive exam. The details of each are in your packet. I'm also providing an update on our previous discussion concerning the classification and compensation study. Following our last meeting, I sent a follow-up email that included an update on what I had reported at the previous meeting since we had some folks that were not here. The one outstanding item from that update was regarding access for the board to the internal classification and compensation website. It appears we're not able to provide direct access for the board to that website, but I can provide you with all the information that is on the website and email you any future updates. If that is something that would work for you. Just let me know what your preference is.
Board Member Hansen.
I'm not sure in what form you would provide the information. And I don't know if it would be a summary of the information that's on the website, or would it be a verbatim?
I would... likely put it in a PDF document so that you can see everything that's on there as it is, all of the documents and links, and I'd provide it in an email, I think would probably be the easiest. Or we can provide it in hard copy, whichever you prefer.
Okay, so it would be the same information that's on the website?
Exactly the same.
Okay, they just can't allow us access to the website itself because it may contain some other information in it.
No, it's not even that. It's just figuring out how to make it work.
I see.
So basically everything I would provide is exactly what's on that website. It's just, I can't give you the direct access, unfortunately.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Board Member Andrews.
For clarification, the website, can it be accessed from back there?
It can be accessed when somebody that is a City of Tacoma employee logs in, because it's our internal intranet site.
So my thinking was, if it was something that we wanted to see relative to actually seeing the site itself, if there was someone who could bring it up, and possibly on these marvelous screens or something to allow us at least to see initially what it looks like, and then the whole PDF issue.
I can do that during the study session, too. I can just pull it up in there, whatever you prefer.
Just a thought.
It sounds like a good thought. Are there other comments? Thank you for so much of your report so far, but you still have more to do.
Other thing I wanted to mention regarding the class and comp study is they're still busily reviewing the current structure and all of the position description questionnaires that were submitted, so there's nothing really new to update you from last time at this point. So any questions about that or other concerns you'd like me to address before I move on to the normal stuff?
I hear none.
Okay. So we approved a list abolishment for program development specialist. It was an open list. 24 people were on the original list, 14 of which were City of Tacoma residents. Two people were hired, and they were both City of Tacoma residents. 22 people are remaining on the list, 12 of which are City of Tacoma residents. The Neighborhood and Community Services Department hired two candidates, as you know from the list, nearly 10 months ago. Another vacancy has been identified, and the department has since thoroughly evaluated the remaining candidates, and the list has been exhausted. We are abolishing this list so we can start a new recruitment. So that is sort of the end of the updates. I'll invite Jessica Madrigal, our human resources analyst, up to present a waiver of competitive exam for Shaquetta Elder.
Now, you're a new face to us, so if you'll introduce yourself again.
Hi, my name is Jessica Madrigal. I have worked with the city for a year and 8 months, and I have been an HR analyst for 8 months. Thank you. Good evening, Chair Summers and members of the board. My name is Jessica Madrigal, and I'm a Human Resources Department. With me this evening is Diane Powers of the Equity and Human Rights Director and Anita Armstrong with the Neighborhood and Community Service Manager of OEHR. We are here this evening to request a waiver of competitive examination for Ms. Shaquetta Elder under the Tacoma Municipal Code 1.2570 for the position of Program Develop Specialist Lead. There is currently no list established, and the position was recently approved for reclass by Class and Comp. The program development specialist will now be a program development specialist lead to address the growing business needs of the department. Shaquetta Elders has worked for the city since 2008. She works in the Office of Equity and Human Rights, OEHR, which was previously part of the Human Services Department. Shaquetta has continuously been a very reliable and trustworthy employee for the city. Her duties have expanded as the OEHR business needs have further developed and been redefined. Shaquetta always steps up to volunteer for her duties and has successfully taken on numerous innovative tasks and roles. In the summer of 2018, Shaquetta made a resounding impact on our community by helping the City of Tacoma create a rental housing code, therefore protecting our citizens from being evicted from their homes without adequate notice. She spent countless hours listening to property owners, landlords, tenants, stakeholders, and council members. Shaquetta endeavors to be fair, equitable in her approach to addressing the issues. She made sure the unrepresented community members who were put at risk and told to vacate in 28 days or 25 days were protected. When the new rental housing code was implemented, it created a tenant's bill of rights that enabled protection for not just the renters, but also a clear standard and assistance for the landlords and property owners. I respectfully request your approval of the waiver. At this time, I would like to introduce Ms. Diane Powers and Adrita Armstrong, representatives of the OEHR, to address any additional questions or concerns.
Yeah, we're not particular.
Good evening, Chair Summers, members of the board. I'm Diane Powers, the director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. And I just want to add a little to what Jessica shared with you. Chiquetta has been, for almost 11 years, the only landlord-tenant coordinator in the state of Washington. I think just this past year, King County created that position. So not only does she answer questions for our community, but other jurisdictions actually look to her to kind of set guidelines for themselves. But I want to tell you that last year we had a tragedy in our community. A very low-income apartment building had a change in use. The owner decided to change it to a market-rate apartment and gave the tenants 20 days to move. Now, when you think of these individuals, they were paying about $400 to $500 a month, had no opportunities for additional financial gain. They mostly had Social Security disability checks that they relied on. And some of them were blind, some were in wheelchairs, some didn't even speak the language, so that when this notice was put on their door, they were panicking. And so they all came to the city council meeting and told their stories, which were really difficult to hear. But the council was so distressed by what had happened to them, they charged our office with creating some codes and some protections that would protect community members. Now, I don't know about all of you, but I have a home and resources, and I could not move in 20 days. So Chiquetta did a lot of work and got a lot of sort of heartache from landlords and tenants, because this was new, and you know, whenever there's something new, people kind of push back against it. But in her, even in her daily work, she often deals with people who are in distress, and she handles it beautifully. And sometimes she can be on the phone from when she walks in the door until 6 o'clock in the evening. And she handles these individuals with empathy and respect. And she is one of the most knowledgeable people in the state on landlord-tenant law. And so her duties have really expanded. And so we think that it's appropriate that she get this new classification. So thank you for letting me share that.
Not yet. Director?
Yes.
I started off on the Human Rights Commission, my volunteer services to the city of Tacoma.
Yes.
And I am so glad to hear Human Rights Department again. Thank
yes.
you for being there.
Absolutely.
Now you can, Dan.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I move that we grant the city's request for a waiver of competitive examination for Chiquetta Elder Program Development Specialist.
It's been moved
Second.
And seconded by Heller. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Is Ms. Elder here?
Yes, she is.
Boy, you really came at the perfect time, huh? That was a disaster.
Yes.
Is this where I stand?
First of all, I would like to thank you all for granting or approving the waiver for me to be reclassified. I think that is going to, further help the city because I'm able to expand on my duties, because housing is a passion of mine, and I know that is an essential part of what we do with the city of Tacoma. So it will be able to allow us to look at other ways that we can make the partnership between the landlords, the tenants, and the city of Tacoma the most healthy that we can within our organization. So thank you very much.
Board Member Sexton?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, you shouldn't be thanking us. We should be thanking you. And you know, I wish I wish we were handing you a medal or an award or something much more than this. This is very well deserved and long overdue. I'm sorry you had to wait this long. I'm sorry it took this long to get to us, but I'm proud of my city, and I'm proud of you, and I'm just so you know, proud and honored and thrilled to you know, be able to be here with you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That means a lot.
Board Member Hansen.
Madam Chair, and I just wanted to echo Dan's Board Member Sexton's remarks, and it sounds like the city is very lucky to have you as an employee, and we do have a crisis in Tacoma with regard to affordable housing, and it's great that we have a resource rate in the city, someone of your caliber to assist in that crisis. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for all of the board.
Thank you.
No, Dan, don't clap. The council gets by with that stuff. We don't.
Hold the applause until after the meeting.
Correct. Okay. And so that completes the director's report.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Comments by the public. I see faces that I don't know might be public. No, I know that face. Yeah. Comments by the board.
Well,
Board Member
Madam
Sexton.
Chair, I just wanted to add to that. You know, the council does all that applause because they are on TV, and we're not. Otherwise, you know, we'd thank you.
Madam Chair.
Board Member
We were going to have a study session on residency tonight, and of course we can still have it. but I would like to see if we can resolve this issue a little more quickly. And as we all know, and as we've talked about before, the charter requires residency, and that was part of the charter review, I guess, that happened, was it a couple years ago? They were looking at changes to the charter, and the charter, as amended, was put before the voters, and the voters decided to vote on or approve what was in the charter, and the charter does require a residency. It's very clear that it does. So I would like to make a motion to remove the blanket waiver of residency, waiver of a residency requirement that was granted by the board a few years earlier. And I know that, you know, and I've done some quick research with regard to exceptions to the residency requirement.
Board Member Hansen, can I hold you for a moment? Do I have a second to that so
second.
We can have discussion? Thank you. It's been moved to second.
So
now discuss.
Oh. Okay. Okay, so, yeah, and just speaking to it very quickly, and Jennifer can certainly interrupt and correct me if I'm saying something that's not reflected in the law. But just as a, you know, quick summary of what I saw through some quick research, it appears that we cannot require residency for firefighters and police officers, as far as what I could determine. And also, there is a statute that states that a city can require residency as a qualification to be employed by the city. However, they cannot terminate someone because they're not living in the city. So the obvious situation that statute is addressing is that if they are a resident at the time that they're offered the position, then that's a valid requirement. However, if they decide to move it sometime after they were hired, it could be the next day, it could be 10 years down the road, they cannot be discharged for doing so. So that's what I found in my research, and there may be some additional information that Jennifer wants to share in that regard, but that's kind of a quick summary. So I guess getting back, that's all the comments that I have with regard to the motion that's out there.
Board Member Heller?
I don't have questions at this time.
Okay.
Yet.
Board Member Andrews, no questions?
No questions.
May
I be heard?
Please.
Thank you. I would like, obviously, this item was not on the agenda. I was not prepared to address the board, give you a full legal analysis. There's a number of cases that also impact residency requirements. And my analysis has been for years, and it is consistent with what the city attorney has also advised the HR director, is my understanding. Neither before nor after hiring can you require somebody to be a resident. That's the Eggert v. Seattle case out of 1973. So and you are absolutely correct that that there can be no residency requirement for fire, for police. That's explicit in the RCW. My analysis of the number of cases that have interpreted residency requirements is that the only day that it's really applicable and enforceable is on the date of hire. And I was the board's advisor.
Could you, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Sure.
What did you say on the date of hire?
Date of hire, you can require it, but you can't require them to be a resident before applying. You can't require them to be a resident as an applicant. You can't terminate them or discriminate against them because they have moved after date. So it's really only enforceable for one date and time. I was the board's advisor at the time that the blanket waiver was imposed by the board. And one of the reasons that this board, as I recall, did it was because there is a blanket waiver, which is a corollary for the unrepresenteds that has been in effect for at least 20 years that was imposed by the city council. And so I think when joint labor came before the board, I recall that they supported the blanket waiver or supported the board doing that. I'm happy to give you a full legal analysis on this. I would like an opportunity to do that as your legal advisor before the board takes this action. You can take whatever action you want. I'm just asking as your legal advisor so that I can fully advise you that the board can weigh this decision with full knowledge of the law and what your legal advisor's advice would be. So,
Board Member Heller.
So I would propose a motion and hope that this is taken in the tone of a friendly sort of amendment or motion to table this motion to a date certain of our next scheduled meeting, so that we would have the opportunity to have our residency study session, so that Jennifer is able to bring us additional legal counsel, and so that we have the time to coordinate and hear from joint labor as well, so that so that we can consider all these things before we take a vote at the next meeting. Not wanting to put this off indefinitely, but to table it for date certain would be my motion of the next meeting. So that was long and windy.
The request is that the matter come before the board at the November meeting where we have the human resource director coming?
Yes.
Okay. So the date certain would be our November meeting.
Yeah, our next scheduled meeting, November.
Board Member Sexton.
Madam Chair, I don't think removing the blanket waiver goes far enough. And you know, the blanket waiver was sold to us at the time as a temporary solution. You know, it was never those of us on the board that allowed this, you know, voted for it and supported it at the time. You know, we were told that it was a temporary situation. It was never meant to be a permanent solution. But I don't think it goes far enough. Our past HR director had a solution that for whatever reason we never got around to. The point system, giving points to a resident. And I think, you know, we need to look at that. I think that's what we should be doing. Besides doing away with the blanket waiver, that's fine. I support that. But I don't think it's enough.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Hansen.
I think, given, you know, what has been said by Board Member Heller and Board Member Sexton, and I think we should probably study this further, have an opportunity to study this further. I do think that, you know, that I have not done thorough research, but if you do have a different legal opinion, or not, it's not different from mine, but if you do want to provide a memorandum, I would appreciate getting case names and sites so I could take a look at those before the meeting. And I think, you know, in all practical, you know, what actually happens in the real world, I doubt that somebody's going to establish a residence for one day just to get in, just to get a job with the city. Mm-hmm. Most people are already residents. They're not going to, you know, establish a residence. I don't even know if that's humanly possible. So as a practical matter, what the residency requirement would do would be to grant that preference to someone who wants a job with the city of Tacoma. And more often than not, that's going to be a person who has resided in the city at least for a few months. And so I don't think it's an issue of, well, this person, all I have to do is be a resident for one day. It's, like I say, it's probably impossible for someone to do that anyway. So I think it is an issue that we shouldn't just brush off, and we should take some time to seriously consider everything. And I agree that joint labor should have a voice in this, as well as anyone else, the Human Resources Department, if you want to provide input. And I think really, when you establish a policy or an act of regulation or statute or whatever, what law-making bodies do is have hearings and to get information before they make decisions. And I know we're not we don't act quite that formally. We're a lot more informal than that. But at the same time, it's always best to have as much input as possible before we make decisions. So
I'll be happy to provide a legal memorandum to the board prior to the meeting. And also, I have, in terms of the background of how the blanket waivers were adopted, there was one that was a temporary time-limited one, and then there was a subsequent meeting in which the board just extended it indefinitely. So the temporary one was extended by the board upon motion from the board. So I will provide the background that I have in my notes and also from the minutes, and I will also be happy to provide current research on it. I have looked at this quite a bit when this was a hot topic about 8 or 9 years ago. So I'll be happy to update and get that to you timely before the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Board Member Heller and then Sexton.
Thank you. There was another way we were also looking at this, and I believe it was prior to our current HR director and deputy director, and that was to also consider another bite at the apple would be to have a residency preference mm-hmm. in a similar structure to a veteran's preference. And we had asked to have some research and perhaps a draft proposal for us. And I think there were staffing changes and for a variety of different reasons, that ball was dropped. So I would also like some information about that. I think there's more than one way to slice this to get with what the intention of the board is. And I would also say that, back to intent, that although this residency requirement was set in place, I believe, in 54, that there have been multiple times, and in my recent memory, I'd say in the last 10 years, at least twice, that we've had charter reviews. And both times, this issue's been before the table to make a change in the residency requirement in the city charter. And both times, it was decided to leave the residency requirement in place. So that intent of the city of Tacoma people and voters really does weigh heavily on me as a board member.
Board Member Sexton.
Madam Chair, and thank you to Board Member Heller for going first and saying most everything I was thinking and articulating it so much better than I was thinking. That plan that we had kicked around before and for some reason, you know, just kept getting kicked down the road, I always thought of it as Joy's plan, because our previous HR director came up with the idea. I believe that, you know, the charter review, I forget how all that went, but you know, there was a lot of work done on that, and one of the things that one of the conversations that we'd had when we'd looked at this before was retention. And I don't know if anyone's thinking about that now, but I hope, you know, any studies that, are out there would be a part of that, because that, you know, we should have that information too. Thank you very much.
So the only thing before the board at this time is the motion to table this to the November meeting. Is there any other discussion about the, actually, you don't even have to ask for discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So clearly we will have the blanket waiver before us next November, and we will be asking joint labor. Will you notify joint labor? That will be on our agenda. I know you send them out our agenda, but just make sure the head chair knows. And with that, is there anything that we were going to discuss at the study session that hasn't come up right now? Is there anybody working on residency preference?
I would say that there isn't anybody working on it currently, but I can tell you just preparing for this meeting that I've reviewed everything that I could find related to it. So I understand what some of the intent was in the past and would really appreciate the opportunity to talk about what the potential options are.
So that means it's nowhere.
Right.
Still. Thank you.
What did I hear about options? You're looking at options, or you're aware of options?
In preparation for this meeting, I reviewed everything I could find about past discussions. So I have an idea of kind of what the past has held. I'd love to hear from you all of why this topic has resurfaced and figure out if there are things that we can do, brainstorm ideas on how to get the result that we're looking for.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Heller.
So going into our study session, can we have a brief agenda of what was planned for the study session tonight?
Yes, please. Thank you.
I'm wanting to know, kind of what is it that we're going to be talking about tonight at the study session, because I wasn't anticipating a brainstorming session. So I was hoping there was going to be a presentation or data presented to us.
I did not prepare one because I also wasn't sure exactly what the purpose of the study session was. So I just prepared by kind of getting an understanding of what happened in the past.
Are you clear about what the concerns are from the board? Do we even have to have the study session tonight? Or would you like more time to prepare, having heard some of the concerns around the table?
I think I have a better understanding. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I interrupt you?
Board Member Hansen? No.
So if we vote on it in November, are we going to have a study session where all the interested parties could present information?
Maybe we can do everything.
No.
And then are we going to vote on it?
Board Member Hansen, I intend to have the information provided by our legal. Joint will have an opportunity to say something. I don't anticipate going into another study session to just simply talk. And yeah, we will have a vote at the end of that. But it will be determined by the comments and people that come before the board, not in study session fashion. We don't vote in the study session.
No, I understand that. No, we don't vote in the study session. But so you're saying that we would get the information by email November meeting?
We certainly will from our legal department. I don't believe that we can request that Joint send us something through email.
Who?
Joint Labor.
Oh.
Who is the other body that we are interested in having. Would you like something from Human Resources, perhaps, about their position on this?
Well, as you said, we can do that in open session in November before we make the decision, or if Human Resources has some written materials that they would like to have us consider, then perhaps those could be emailed to us before the November meeting, and then Jennifer's research on the issue. And I think you said you had some other information, too. I don't know if it's something that could be put in written form. If not, we could just discuss it at the open meeting. So that sounds fine to me, if that's okay with you.
Yes. Board Member Andrews has been trying to get in, and I don't see her because I'm always looking this way.
Yes. For me, it's understanding the flow of information relative to when we're going to have an opportunity to review it, discuss it, have our questions answered, and then have that happen before the meeting. Then is there a study session after the meeting? So I'm just interested in the entire flow relative to bringing this information forward and the various steps.
The information that we're requesting is partially from our legal department, partially from the Human Resource Department, and partially from Joint Labor, who has been before us and discussed this matter also when Amy was chair. Did you have a hearing on residency?
Yes. Yes, the board did. In fact, a blanket waiver was passed in TMB room 16. It was passed on the record because we were over in the other building. I remember I was there. It was done on the record.
Is there any way that we can get that past record?
I'm sure the minutes are still available. I do recall Board Member Sexton made the motion. So I'm sure that I may even have the minutes. I don't know, but I can certainly coordinate with Wendy. I had I had a draft resolution prepared extending the blanket waiver that had been in effect for, I believe it was in effect for a year, and then there was testimony on the record, and then the board
there was a motion just to extend the blanket waiver indefinitely. That motion was granted. So the draft resolution I had prepared to extend it an additional year was not voted on by the board. The board simply extended the resolution. That is my recollection. As I sit here today, I wouldn't swear that that's perfectly accurate, but that's my recollection of what happened, because I remember there was a lot of discussion about the residency requirement and waivers in the months leading up to that motion.
Is there a possibility of getting also in the information that you give to us, getting that annual waiver? Because I think that part of the concern here is that we're not doing our job by not at least looking at it annually and seeing mm-hmm. what has happened. And I think that might address more of the concerns on the board than...
Sure. And I don't mean to interrupt, and I apologize for that. I think there are a number of options that the board can look at. Board Member Heller mentioned about there were past discussions about preference points. That's one thing that the board can look at. Any kind of preference system based upon residency has to be rationally related to a legitimate government interest, and it cannot result in a discriminatory hiring pattern. That is one option. The board can also look at possibly withdrawing a blanket waiver and just imposing a waiver on a limited basis, and they revisit it once a year, because the standard that the board would look at is whether hiring this person who is not a resident is in the best interest of the city. And so the board may want to look at possibly just time limiting the waiver that is currently in effect. There are a number of different options the board can look at. I will look at everything I may still have, and see what I can find. I'll certainly do a background analysis on how I believe we got to this point. And then in terms of prior advice I've given to the board, I'll reiterate that and update it with anything else I have as indicated to Board Member Hansen. And I will get that to the board sometime in the week prior to the November meeting.
Board Member Andrews.
I'm the newest member of the board, and I have no knowledge of anything you're
sure.
talking about.
Right.
So I have no position on the issue.
Sure.
So for me, having the history, having it written, having it explained is helpful.
I will put all of that on
prepared to
memory.
Vote.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Heller.
So two things. First, most, perhaps I was hasty in setting it.
Done.
But I didn't want it to be dropped again, so I would definitely entertain or vote to or change my own motion that we already passed to say that we'd set it for December or January so that we have time to do all this. I think this is important, so I would definitely put forward an amended motion? I don't know, whatever.
We accept that, and we are going to move this issue to the December meeting. And that
Perfect.
Will take care of getting information and having time to read it, because part of us haven't been here as
right.
long as our lovely Chair Heller was. And we need that historical
Thank
information.
You.
And also, if we could possibly, from Human Resource, because I know there are other jurisdictions that do this, get the residency waiver. We had several examples presented to us in the past. And again, the reason this keeps poking its head up over and over again is we never get a resolution. And we would like to have an ending to this discussion. And I've heard tonight opportunities for that to happen. So if we could please have that presented to us as well.
Madam Chair.
Hi.
Board Member Heller.
Also, some additional information that I'd like to see, because I think having had this residency waiver in place now for a number of years has potentially impact our parity numbers. And I would like to see, I know we get the email sent annually with your ADA report numbers, but I would like to see a little more information about where we sit in accordance with parity numbers. I think that from a diversity, equity, and inclusion perspective, that having a residency waiver sometimes impacts those numbers and can have a negative impact there. Additionally, I would say to the board that prior to having a residency waiver, we had more of a bifurcated system where, although we did not have a blanket waiver, we had a system where if it was an entry-level position, we wanted those lower-level positions to have a residency requirement. If you wound up with an amazing candidate that was your first choice, you could come for an individual waiver based on that recruitment specifically. But then there were also recruitments where the waiver was given based on having it be a niche market that you knew you needed a much wider pool. And so the waiver was, the Human Resource Department came before the board and requested a waiver prior to even doing the recruitment. And so, like I said, it was more of a bifurcated system. The board was more active and involved in those and actively looking at whether that made sense. So,
and we met twice a month.
And we did meet twice a month.
When did that change? No.
Madam Chair, I just have a question for my own clarification so I make sure I understand what the board is expecting from both Ms. Fritz and myself. You had just mentioned you wanted HR to come back with some examples. I think I may have misheard. Did you want examples of possible other jurisdictions' preference systems or the waivers that other jurisdictions are doing?
No, the preference system.
Okay, I may have misheard. So, okay, so it is what other jurisdictions that may have residential preference.
Yes.
I thought I heard waiver, and I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page. Yeah.
Thank you for making me clarify.
Don't just compare us to Seattle.
Okay, having said and done all of that, we are canceling our study session, and we will move this item to the December meeting. Have we put too much on your plate, or do you know what we expect? Okay, perfect. And hearing no more comments from the board, we are adjourned.
That means we actually have to have those meetings.
This is correct. Thank you for
nice
recognizing that seed of panic on my face. What are you thinking?